Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So tomorrow, the Select Committee begins its hearings, and I'm looking forward to them. Up first are going to be four police officers. They're going to testify, two from the D.C. Metropolitan Police, Daniel Hodges and Michael Finone. Also two Capitol Police officers, Harry Dunn and Sergeant Aguino Ganell. And we're going to hear we've heard most of these stories before, how horrible it was, the flag waving Trump supporters basically stabbing people with flags. I want to know why the Capitol Police allowed them to have the flagpoles. As someone who has been to a number of those protests, you're not allowed anywhere near anything with wooden or metal poles. They all got to be cardboard tubes. How did the Trump supporters get to bring actual metal flags and all the other stuff that they brought? And here to share some thoughts on what we can expect over the next day, several weeks, as these hearings begin and carry on. I've asked our good friend David Yankovich to come talk with us. David is the national digital strategist and political analyst. David, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, thanks for having me again.
So we're going to hear the testimony of these four police officers, and I got to be honest, I think we've already heard the story. I'm as outraged as I'm going to be, but I know tomorrow when I hear the testimony, I'm going to be just as outraged as I was the first time I heard it. Is this going to matter?
Yeah, it is. It's really going to matter. From what we're hearing already, the leaks or the comments that are coming from this investigation, it's going to be a very serious, very important investigation. And looking into what happened during, the worst attack on our Capitol since 1812 when they burnt the White House down. This isn't something to play around with. This is a real investigation. This is something that it's going to make everybody feel uncomfortable. We're definitely going to be getting to the bottom of everything you're talking about, and more. It's on a whole different level. So, the stuff that was coming out tonight already about just, the subpoenas and, things like that, they're willing to do. And as far as they're willing to go with this committee, it's a very serious thing.
Now, I spent a little time listening to right-wing radio today just to find out, get a sense of what the response is. And, the comment by Kevin McCarthy got a lot of play, calling Liz Cheney a Pelosi Republican. And all of the attacks on Kingsinger and Liz Cheney were there, but also that this is an illegitimate, and you knew this was going to happen, and we talked about this last week,
yep,
that this is an illegitimate hearing, that there aren't, the Republicans didn't get to choose their people. So it's, in their view, completely illegitimate, and they're not paying attention. Surprised by that?
No, not at all. Not at all. And I'm actually happy about this. Let them send their messaging out that this isn't legitimate, this isn't real. They're going to do that. They cannot run from this. They can't run from the insurrection. And as much as they want to use their talking point and try to fundraise off of it and everything else, the truth is coming. The Democrats are in power. We have subpoena power. We have the Justice Department. We have the White House. We have the Senate. We have the House of Representatives. They cannot run from this any longer. And this is that moment where, the OS word moment for the Republicans, or it should be. Just earlier, Representative Benny Thompson, he's from the South. He gets the KKK riding freely. He understands the racism and the hatred and the things that come out of the Proud Boys and these things that are happening. And he's vowed, and this committee has vowed to go as far as it can, all the way up into subpoenaing the president or the former president of the United States about this. They are not playing around with this, and the Republicans can use all the talking points that they want to, and they can talk about harassment, they will, and all the things that they always do, and they're going to fundraise off of it and everything else. But at the end of the day, this is a serious one.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to outrun the truth on this one, because we're not going to be sitting there at the Justice Department with everybody else holding off investigations and not doing the job that the American people put us there to do.
Yeah, and I love the rhetoric, and I do. I love the fact that Betty Thompson's saying, we're going to depose members of Congress, we're going to go after, the Trump officials and all that. But here's the thing. I know that our system is set up in a way that none of those people are ever going to testify.
Well, we will see. The one thing is some of those people were almost on this committee. McCarthy, wanted Jim Jordan to be on this committee, and he's going to be probably one of the people who are going to get subpoenaed on this. He was one of the instigators of the riot. He's one of the weed Trump defenders, one of the lead people who have been helping coordinate with this. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who had the Proud Boys with her and did a tour with them. Proud Boy leader met with the White House the day before this happened. And he's cooperating with the authorities. We have no idea which direction this is going to go to. The thing is when you have investigations like this, and we've seen this throughout history, whether it's, you know, the Bill Clinton or the, you know, special counsel investigations or any of this kind of stuff, who knows what this is going to uncover, and they have unlimited power and resources to go wherever the facts are going to lead them. And that's what's very dangerous to the Republicans right now, and they know it.
Yeah, see, the reason I wanted Jim Jordan on that committee and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and all of the rest of the insurrectionist is I wanted to have representatives be able to turn to them in the hearing and go, hold on, wait a second, you brought this up, and ask them direct questions because you get them in the room. My problem is I know the subpoena power that they have is significant, but with our judicial system, they can tie that up for years. And we don't get to get them in the seat. There's no way to compel them right now to go testify without going through a whole long legal framework. I wanted them on that thing so they had to answer those questions right in front of the camera.
Well, I mean, the problem is they wouldn't. You know, we get them on the panel. I mean, first off, if you have somebody who's on a jury, you don't put the criminal on the jury. You know, if they have a direct tie to a murder or, you know, actually, this is exactly that. You know, if you have direct ties to a murder, you're not going to be allowed to sit on the jury. And that's what's going on with Jim Jordan, you know, and Marjorie Taylor Greene and all the kooks who are out here screaming until their dying breath over Q and falling in line behind Donald Trump. You and I have disagreed on this issue, and I totally respect your position on it. I just am telling you, this is serious. This isn't one of those times where, you know, the Democratic Party is going to say, we're going to hold your coat. This is them in the alley right now. And this is real.
I hope you're right. I do. And every time we have these conversations, I hope you're right. And every time I have the conversations with people who say things that I don't agree with, I go, you know what? Hope I'm wrong. I'm hope this is that moment that we go after and we hold people accountable. My fear is this is just going to turn into another one of those moments where we're going to get the low-hanging fruit. The 800 idiots that went in and leaked all over desks and defecated on the floor and broke windows. We're going to go after them, but we're not going to go after the members of Congress who did this. We're not going to go after the moneyed interest who funded all of it. For me, that's where I really want to see this go. The network of moneyed interest who have propped up these militia groups and these right-wing nut groups, the people who have made this possible by their funding dollars, those are the people that I think are most dangerous.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, me and you agree on that one. I think the most of the American people agree on that. You know, I mean, I don't know what the future is going to hold. I can just tell you that what the preparations for this committee has been, the seriousness in which they're operating, the lengths that they're publicly and privately saying that they're willing to go, this isn't like other things. You know, this isn't like the Democratic Party of the past that you've seen, and especially the Democratic Party when we weren't in power, when the Mueller investigation was happening, or, you know, and Trump had the Justice Department. He was able to kill these things off. And I mean, just like, you know, the flurry of books that are coming out already about this stuff, you know, I this combined with the books that are coming and with the stories that haven't been told yet are going to be devastating to the Republicans. I mean, we had 140 police officers with severe brain injuries. Some of them had their eyeballs gouged out. They were covered in bear meat. You know, I mean, they, like you said, you know, they were using American flags to beat cops. We have video of all of this stuff, and it's going to be everywhere. They're not going to be able to hide from this. So regardless of the fact of whether or not we can't get, you know, Jim Jordan and Marjorie Taylor Greene on a stand, be subpoenaed, you know, I mean, still in this, you know, we have the video, we have the photos, we have the police officers finally able to tell their story. And they're just getting beat up on Fox News and in InfoWars and everything else that's out there, Newsmax. You know, they're just getting the living crap kicked out of them, and it's not fair and it's not right. And finally, they're going to have their voices be heard. And that is going to be something that's going to be powerful, because are you going to back the blue now? You know, they're already attacking them, you know, through that. But, right, like, you know, you're going to be on this committee. You know, is Jim Jordan really going to come out and tell off Capitol police officers? Because then you're going to have a problem with Mike Pence. He wants to be president in 2024. He was escorted out of there twice by the police officers of the Capitol there. Or Mitt Romney, who came face to face almost with these, you know, the marauders through the Capitol. You know, there are conflicting stories, and having Liz Cheney on there and having Kinzinger on there, you know, it's going to be powerful on its own. But there are other Republicans out there who are not going to stand for this and let Republicans tear the whole party down. It's one of these times you can't run away from it. It's just too bad. Like, it's too much. It's, you know, it's like the night when this happened and everybody kind of came together for a second and asserted that Joe Biden was president. Lindsey Graham gave his big old movie speech about how it was a good ride with Trump and everything else. Like, this is, they're not going to be able to run away.
I hope you're right. Because outside of the horror stories that we're going to hear, and look, we're gonna see the videos, we're going to hear the stories, we're going to hear the aftermath. Sadly, I'm in this place where I think we're already somewhat past the shock of what happened. It's now one of those things where you go, yeah, that was terrible. Next, I think we've been a little desensitized by it as time has gone away. And I hope, look, as we see the videos and hear the stories, that our outrage comes back and we want accountability. But I don't think any of this stuff changes until you get people on the stand who were doing this stuff. Like, I would like to, you know, one of the campaign people, that Katrina Pearson, I'd like to hear her on the stand. You know, what did she do to put that rally together? What were her instructions? You know, that kind of stuff that I want to know. When they put this together, what were the expectations? What did they already know? Who funded it? What, all of that stuff. And look, I want Mike Pence. I want Pence on the stand. I want to know what Trump told him in the hours leading up to it. There's so much of this that's behind the scenes that I fear we don't get to.
Well, and that's where, you know, activism works, where public pressure works. You know, I mean, you remember Benghazi. You know, the only equivalent to this that we can ever say is going to be Benghazi. The Republicans spent, $30 million? They had, 100 meetings on this thing, or 100 hearings on it. They beated that drum and beat that drum all the way through the midterms, all the way through Obama's presidency, to the end of it. You know, this is that moment for the Democrats, except that this isn't fake. You know, this isn't something that's drummed up by Republicans to, you know, get everybody riled up. This is something that rational people watched and saw. You know, and like you and me talk about this offline sometimes, you know, you have, you know, your different levels of supporters. You know, we're never going to get the level fours and fives of the Trump side. We're never going to be able to pull them back into, you know, what we're doing right now. It's just that they're too far gone. But there's level ones and twos and threes here that are going to see this, and they're going to see this for the next 2 years, and it's not going to go away. It's going to keep going. And until they get to the bottom of it, and as long as Democrats are in power, they're going to keep going. And here's the other thing, too. Who's going to flip? Who's going to start making plea bargains? Because once these investigations start going, additional criminal charges can come out of these things.
Right.
And they do. And so then all of a sudden, do you have another Michael Cohen? You know, do you have, you know, the way that the White House has done this? Or, you know, a former, you know, General Mattis come out and say something? Does, you know, Trump's former director of national security, whoever? We have no idea who's going to flip on the president, because it's not worth it to these career military people and these career police officers and people like that, that, you know, at this point, Trump is a failed presidential candidate who's kicked off of all social media, really doesn't have any power whatsoever. And now there's going to be probably a million books that are going to come out destroying his reputation. And you're going to have these hearings on national TV every single day. So is it worth standing up for him when you have that much political pressure?
But here in a couple,
that much news pressure.
But here in a couple weeks, he's going to be reinstated, I'm told.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I heard that a couple weeks ago, and a couple weeks before that, and a couple weeks before that. But it's cute. He's cute.
No, I mean, I heard that. I'm told in August he's coming back. They're gonna reinstate him, which I didn't know was possible. But somewhere in the secret Constitution, the one that we didn't get to read while in school, it's somewhere in there.
Yeah, somewhere in there, apparently. Yeah, he, you know, he tells his supporters that, and they believe it. And, you know, I mean, they'll keep getting disappointed. But on the other side of it, they're going to really see the truth of what happened on January 6th and what was leading up to it.
I mean, the thing that gets me is, you know, I look at McCarthy, and McCarthy's been the attack dog on this for a while. You know, he's even gone after Kinzinger, and he's gone after, Cheney. He's done a bunch of this stuff, and I'm going, you know, this is a guy who on the days after the insurrection was really quite right. You know, he evidently on the day he got into an expletive laden, you know, shouting match with Trump. You know, there was a moment where he had stones, and now, well, not.
Well, and look what happened. You know, there's political pressure on him. All of a sudden, when there's political pressure and there was news pressure and world pressure on him, he started having stones, and he started arguing with the, you know, former president. you know, and that's what's going to happen here. Let's see if McCarthy can keep his tune up. Just like he started flipping on COVID, just like he turned his, you know, and went back to, you know, supporting Trump. Like Joe Walsh was on the show the other day right before me. He said something that was really profound and it stuck with me. He said, I was in Congress. I served with him. He's a moron. And, you know, that's, you know, he's not a smart person. He's going by the political wind. He's the kind of guy who lifts his finger and sees whichever way the wind's going, he goes there. So let's turn the wind really against the Republican Party. And it is like, and they know it. That's why they're hitting this so hard and fighting so hard against it. They know that this is bad for him. They know this is terrible. McCarthy, he is a moron. He really, truly is a moron. But, you know, he has advisors who tell him what the right thing to do is in the moment. And, you know, let's see the Republican Party get away with this one.
Yeah.
I mean, this is 9/11. You know, I mean, we've never and people use that. Remember the first time I came on your show, Rick, and I said that the Republicans were turning into Nazis. And everybody was kind of like, oh, my God, I can't believe he just said that the Republicans are turning into Nazis. That's not kosher. That's not OK, you know, for him to say. And right now, you know, the thing that's not OK to say is that this was 9/11. You know, you had the Capitol building sacked. There was fires. There was, you know, people marauding through. They took classified information. They, like you said, defecated, urinated. There was blood on statues. You know, people died, you know, and people were grievously injured. You know, this was the equivalent of 9/11. This wasn't the equivalent of Benghazi or other, you know, events that have happened in this country that have been devastating for us. This is a major event. And I mean, could you imagine, like, imagine me and you talking 2 years ago. And I said, hey, Rick, like, let's go storm the Capitol. You'd say, no, the snipers would get you before you got there.
Yeah.
they were able to storm the Capitol, get inside, be in the halls of the Senate, which is like sacred. You know, take classified documents out, take Nancy Pelosi's mail. You know, there were storming. They had gallows set up outside to hang people. Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying that this is our 4th of July. And, you know, the next 48 hours, they're going to define democracy. Yeah, Jim Jordan making speeches outside. Trump said he's going to march with people across to do this. Like, this was a coup attempt. And the thing was, is Trump couldn't get the military to go along with him because the military stood with the people in the Constitution. So this was his way of doing it,
right.
And he failed. But that's how close we came.
And to your point, I would argue that this was worse than 9/11 because this was domestic. You understand things that happened by foreigners. You understand foreign attacks. They're horrible. But when it comes from within, to me, I think that's much worse.
I mean, the thing is it's tough for me to say this, but it wasn't just from within either. You know, we have foreign interference from Russia and Iran and Saudi Arabia and Venezuela, even, you know, Cuba. All these nations are interfering in our elections using influencers and meme pages and, you know, really stoking the political divide in this country. They are helping, you know, really propel the Republicans into this. And at some point in this investigation, that's what I hope to see, you know. I mean, Russia has had a direct influence in trying to instigate a civil war in the United States of America. So what is Joe Biden going to do? What is the United States government going to do? We haven't had that conversation yet,
right,
with the American people.
And does that come out of this hearing?
I don't know. I mean, I wish I could say, yeah. I mean, I'm not privy inside here talking to everybody. I would hope that if we're going to have a responsible investigation and we're really going to look into the true causes of everything, we should also look into the foreign interference that's happening. You know, in the last election, the director of national intelligence wrote a report that Russia didn't even try to hack us this time because they already believe they have foreign assets already in our country. And they do, Donald Trump Jr. and, you know, other people here who can be surrogates for the Russian government and push this kind of stuff. They didn't hack us this time. They didn't do the WikiLeaks, death by a thousand paper cuts and everything because they felt that they already had the assets. So, you know, in this election, they use their interference through influencer pages, through, you know, Instagram. There's a website called Redfish. I think it's Redfish Rising, or I can't even remember now. And, you know, it's got 412,000 people who follow it, including at one point AOC. You know, so, you know, we're looking into this stuff and we're seeing that Russia is interfering in these elections and they're using influencers and they're pushing on one side of it, the socialism is good. On the other side of it, the Black Lives Matter is looting and violent. And on the other side of it, that, you know, the United States government is against everybody and they're putting microchips in vaccines. You know, I mean, if there's one place where I could turn around and I could point a finger to, it'd be Vladimir Putin. And that's the thing, is that's what's so smart about what he's done in this, is he's turned himself into the boogeyman. See, if I say that, and if I put that publicly out there, which we do, everybody laughs at it because it's been 4 years of the Democrats saying Russia, 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 like Marsha, 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 right? And it doesn't really have any hold to it. I'm hoping that at some point, whether it's these investigations or other things, that we finally start talking about what's really happening in our country, because it's not just the fact that a bunch of, you know, hillbilly racists, you know, took over the Capitol. They were aided, abetted, and instigated by foreign nations and really instigated by it as well. You know, I hate saying this because the Trump supporters and the people who came and stormed the Capitol are guilty of sin. They should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. However, a big piece of this is that they were instigated by Russia and they have no idea about it. You know, and I'm not giving them any excuses. And, you know, you make your own decisions. You can do your own research and things like that. But, you know, this is a very serious thing. You know, this is not something to take lightly.
Yeah, as Trey Crowder, friend of the show, said the time he was on last, research isn't watching YouTube with your mouth open.
No, or, you know, I mean, going to whatever, you know, weirdo websites or clicking on Facebook links, and that's another piece of it. You know, you have Mark Zuckerberg, and you have Twitter as well. Now, why are they allowing, with their platforms, these types of things to be said and done? Now, are they guilty too? Because if you're a media platform, if you're a social media platform, but all of a sudden you're allowing all these countries and other nations to post fake news and, you know, to instigate riots and instigate people to go and commit treason against the United States, are you in a position now where you're not a social media company? Are you somebody like Huffington Post or CNN or MSNBC where you can be sued? You know, there's a lot of questions that once these things start coming through, we're going to have to start asking. It's going to be a real serious thing.
So there are a lot of roads. There are an awful lot of roads this could take. So this is, it's not just about telling the story of what happened that day, but this could be decades of investigation.
Yes. And that's, you know, like, that's what we're looking at, I think. You know, it's, you know, because, I mean, what, it's a rabbit hole. Like, you, I mean, if you ever read Q, you know, it's
I
a
don't.
Rabbit hole.
I stay and, out of and, it. That's one rabbit hole, yeah. I don't want to fall down into. But the hope is that
you're up against.
The hope is that the Democrats are able to pull that out and put it into a messaging that's going to be digestible, that people are going to understand, and do it in a way that is going to bring people around. I'm hopeful. I am. I'm very hopeful.
Yeah. I think that this is going to be a very illuminating and very terrifying investigation into what happened. I'm hopeful that we can get people here, you know, to be on the stand. I'm hopeful that we can get people to flip. Whether or not we're able to get members of Congress and that, I don't know. I mean, and none of us do. There's no crystal ball. But I can tell you that they're more serious and they're in a better position than I've ever seen them in before.
Well, let's hope that equates to something positive coming out of this. My fear, again, and we've talked about this and it's not worth beating over again, is that the Republicans have a much bigger microphone and seem to do messaging a little bit better or a lot better. So I'm hopeful we get to the bottom and hope we hold people accountable. The fear is that the lie machine that they've got is better.
Well, the lie machine is definitely better. You can't deny that. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's going to really come down to video and what you're seeing and rational. And here's Rick, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the economy. And you know it. It's, you know, what's going on in my pocket? Am I making money? Am I doing well? You know, right now the economy is the highest it's ever been, and it's doing that. You know, now when we start showing these kinds of things, you know, and putting these videos up, people are going to be disgusted and they're going to be dismayed, you know, and it's really going to cause problems for the Republicans. But at the end of this, you know, truly, if we want to win elections, we need to talk about how this impacts people.
Yep.
You know, I mean, having these types of moments happen and what the Republicans are doing, how does that impact your bottom line and your business? You know, at your house, with your kids, your college, all of these things. And I know, like, it sounds like I'm just talking political on this, but, you know, I mean, a lot of people out there can't understand what happened in the insurrection. That's our job, to put those videos in front of them. But we have an election in 2022 and every year, basically. And, you know, the biggest things, you know, that we can really be speaking to right now is how this impacts them. Every single thing that's going to come out in this hearing, how does this impact a $55,000 wage earner, you know, living in, you know, the Midwest? How is this going to impact somebody in the South? You know, if we're not speaking to those issues and tying everything to economics and tying everything to, you know, what's really going on at people's kitchen tables, and, you know, and also what we are as a people, the right side of history, you know, then we're not going to be able to get it done. Like you said, you know, it's about us having the message and telling the truth and being in the right place at the right time with the right people. I think that we have this right now. This committee has really impressed me.
All right, good. I'm glad to hear it, and I'll take your word for it. I will be tuning in tomorrow to make sure that I see what's going on. But I know I'm going to be outraged and angry. I sadly think we've moved past the time where the country's going to unite around this. Sadly, but I appreciate your time and thoughts as always. Fantastic insight. Appreciate the time, David. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much, Rick. You have a great one.
You as well, our good friend David Yankovic. Top digital strategist and national political strategist analyst. You know, it's one of those weird things. Love to hear your thoughts. You think it's going to go anywhere? Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.